It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Live on headon.live. I'm trying to enunciate the little bee Jesus out of that. Headon.live, HEADON.LIVE. Streams live there. Still no stream and tune in. And again, that would by definition mean no stream at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Really? Again with the sneezing? Wow. Okay, so, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. We stream via WhiteRoseSociety.org and by HeadOn.live, okay? Just so we're nice and clear about all that. All right. It's a happy little community we have here, and everything here is free. If you would like to jump into the conversation that takes place here, While the rest of the program's going on, we got a little chat room. It's a fun place, as long as you don't have an Apple machine and can't cope with Java. And anyway, if you can run Java and everything, you're welcome to jump into the chat room. If you do so, if you pick out a free screen name and a free password, well, you'll be happily and joyfully met by Jug of Punch and Kid Mark and Silent R. Lamar and Squeaky 41 and BT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave. You'll also be moderated by midweek pinch hit utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve, from Georgistan. And there will be more folks wandering in as the evening progresses, I have no doubt. Yeah, thanks, Steve. No White Rose currently. White Rose, a no-go. Which is really frustrating for me because I sit here and I see sending. So I'm just, sending. But who knows what's happening at White Rose? I hate that. Let's see. We got stuff to go into this evening. Oh. Let's take care of the. Never forget the thank yous. Never ever forget the thank yous, because that's how this program stays on the air. Big thanks go out to Joan. Hi, Joan, out in Taliban, Indiana. Thank you, Joan, and thank you very kindly to David in Vermont. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. As a result of those two people, we only have a $255 fundraising goal this evening. That means this evening's fundraising goal plus $55 left over from last night. So that's huge. It will be even more huge if we can meet the $255 fundraising goal this evening. But that's where it stands. So if we can raise $255 this evening, you know, 10 at 25, 25 at 10, 1 at 255, Jesus Christ, 2 at 127.50, and after that, my head hurts. We're doing good. We're not counting fundraising for Wednesday, and we're not counting Thursday as a broadcast day. We'll be back with regular-ish programming on Friday. Remember, Friday, it's a shortened version of Friday on the Front Porch, a too sleepy to round table for 2 hours post-Thanksgiving. Friday on the Front Porch, the round table, the extraordinary, ordinary round table, and then 2 hours of Malloy over on Progressive Voices. So hopefully you'll be around for all of that. So, yeah, like I said, $255 to go. If you'd like to become a subscriber, and gosh, we love subscribers, because that way we can, you know, me and that mouse in my pocket. No, it's actually me and Agnes. We can actually know what's, you know, we've got a little idea of what's coming in and how to go about planning for paying the bills. So if you'd like to become a subscriber, if you're new to the program, if you've never heard it before, or if you've just never contributed, consider being a $10 a month subscriber. We're never going to tell you you got to pay, because we're just not. This is not that kind of an operation. We're not going to hide anything behind anything. There's no paywalls or any of that kind of thing. But we can say for certainty that if you subscribe at $10 a month, you are supporting the program at somewhere around or perhaps slightly less than 16 cents per hour of programming. Can't drive a car for 16 cents per an hour. I guess you can walk for an hour for less than 16 cents. But somewhere along the way, you're going to need a drink of water, and you're going to need to drink more than 16 cents worth of water. There's literally nothing out there that matches up with how with what we're talking about here. 16 cents per hour. If you'd like to become a subscriber, just click on contribute. Click the little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation, and away we go. If you absolutely despise PayPal, if you can't stand it, if you just, yuck, it makes your skin crawl to even think about PayPal, well, yeah, you can use Patreon. Patreon.com, Patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. That's another subscription method. Right now, we've got enough subscribers at Patreon to cover, like, one broadcast day. And if you do it that way, that'll come out on the first of the month, one and done. And then there's always the United States Postal Service. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV, 25801. All right. And remember, checks and money orders only made payable to the Horn. And not Bob Kincaid. And that way, when Boss Man Wayne goes to the mailbox, he doesn't have his hand chewed off by the mailbox spiders, and he just sends it on down and takes care of it. I know. Ron and Raleigh says no paywall. Hey, Bob, I'm sure Mr. Ajit Pai might have a thing or two to say about that. Yeah, I know. I've got that in the stack. Ron added a little earlier. I'm confused. All this frou-frou surrounding Senator Franken's alleged improprieties leaves me a bit confused. I'm in my 60s, and I've been racking my brain trying to think whether I'd ever touched a female inappropriately, and for the life of me, I couldn't think of any. The fact that ratfucker Roger Stone knew about this transgression and the way Ms. Tweeden embellished the story leaves me with questions. We Democrats seem to be all willing to chuck our politicians under the bus while Republicans just reelect their guys. From Gary Hart to Anthony Weiner and Elliot Spitzer, the so-called godless liberals send our politicians packing. I want to know if an unwanted kiss or a goose should be the end of a promising career, especially since an apology has been proffered and accepted. Is this criminal behavior, and if so, shouldn't due process attach? I don't believe that what Al Franken is accused of rises to the level of Roy Moore's behavior. I do not believe that what Al Franken did was okay, but if the victim is willing to forgive, who the hell am I to say that he should resign? I've known some pretty frisky teenage girls in my life. Probably when you were still a teenager, right, Ron? I'm guessing. And the idea that teen girls can't be aggressive seems to me to be wishful thinking. This is not to absolve Roy Moore of anything. He's always struck me as a creep. However, knowing the Republicans, this seems like too easy a way for them to target Democratic politicians because, as we all know, Republicans are liars. Am I wrong? Asks Ron in Raleigh for being suspicious. No, I wouldn't. I would not say you're wrong. I wouldn't. Because there's no way to judge, since all of this is being tried in the press and tried in the court of public opinion, there's no due process. There's no process. There's no judge, no jury, no executioner, except for the media. And here's the thing. When the media allow themselves to be used, when the media make themselves tools of the when they allow themselves to be made tools by the right-wing filth machine, which, as we've seen for 25 years, is banging on all 16 cylinders. I mean, it's a beast of a machine. Then the only way we can do this is to judge it on a case-by-case basis. Now, you can do this, I'll note, without talking in any way whatsoever about clothing or lack thereof or states of undress or what one did for a living or does for a living. One can, however, judge credibility. And at this point in time, I think Al Franken responded appropriately. I'm sorry I hurt Ms. Tweeden, but I don't remember these events the way she does. And the photo, yes, the photo was stupid, sophomoric, etc. Should he resign? No. No. This is where we take one from their goddamn playbook. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? But this is along the same lines of something. I posted earlier today those magic letters on Facebook. IOKIYAR. I think some so-called Democrats, some so-called progressives, some so-called liberals should probably get that tattooed in reverse on their goddamn foreheads so that they can read it every time they look in the mirror. IOKIYAR. And we all remember what that stands for. It's okay if you're a Republican. Right? Anybody remember David Vitter? I do. He was a neighbor of ours back when we had our little apartment office space in D.C. with the 8 campaign. And I'll never forget how just really creeped out I was when I walked out of the apartment one day to see none other than Senator David Vitter, sacred David Vitter, David Vitter, man of Christian values, standing in the basement of our building with his laundry basket and nothing on except a tank T-shirt, a tank undershirt, and a pair of shiny orange gym shorts.
Woo!
Yeah. I ran back in the door and bolted and locked it behind me. Didn't feel real good. But David Vitter, you might recall, at the time that I saw him, he was a member of the Senate from the state of Louisiana. He'd started out in the House of Representatives. But over in the House of Representatives, he got caught up in that little to-do in which it turned out that he had been regularly and routinely procuring the services of a prostitute. And him being an upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, family values, Republican and all. Mm-hmm. And so he, remember, he held a press conference and he brought his traditional family values, upstanding Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian wife to stand up there next to him and basically pulled a Jimmy Swaggart, "I have sinned against you and the people of the state of Louisiana." Never voted for him for House of Representatives again. They voted for him for United States Senate instead. It's okay if you're a Republican. It's okay if you're a Republican. Say it so many times that you can't forget it. It's okay if you're a Republican. And it remained okay because they sent him back again. And he quit on his own. And not under any kind of threat or duress or any. No, there wasn't a big gang of the working of sex workers from the New Orleans area saying, "Yeah, we're going to tell everything, Dave." Nope. No. Hung Like Jesus says, "Bob, I still say Franken's done. What about that freak Charlie Rose? That's someone with real issues." I don't know that Franken's done. You know what? This is a real easy answer. We could probably do well to learn to use it. That's between Al Franken and the voters of the state of Minnesota. Because it is. Incidentally, a number of women who have worked with Al Franken over the years in a performance aspect from the very beginnings of Saturday Night Live issued a letter in support of Al saying, "Yeah, that photo really was awful. But we've never had a moment's harassment. We've never been inappropriately touched, lewd remarks, suggestive anything in all the years we worked with him." And you know what? If you count back from 2017 to 1975, that's a lot of years. So I don't know. I don't know. That's for the voters to decide. But then there's the Conyers business. I posted this clip on Facebook earlier today. I think it might be worth a play. Just because it's very weighty. There's a lot of gravity. And Jose Ferrer, well, the setup is the Caine Mutiny court-martial is over with. It's an old movie, so I can do the giveaway, right? The mutineers are found not guilty. Jose Ferrer defended them by absolutely destroying Captain Queeg, played by Humphrey Bogart. And at a celebration after the fact, Ferrer tells the erstwhile mutineers exactly how he feels about them. And this scene just popped into my head. Okay, a couple of scenes popped into my head this morning. One of them was Cool Hand Luke. I don't see anybody playing grab ass. I see any grab ass or fighting in the bunkhouse. You can settle it on Saturday. If I see anybody playing grab ass, it's a night in the box. Yeah, do we need a box or dozen in Washington D.C.? A nice little setup of them in Hollywood. You know, maybe one of those just single door, single storage kind of thing. Night in the box. All right. But this was the one that sort of stuck. This is from the Caine Mutiny. See what you get out of it.
Well, well, well. The officers of the Caine in happy celebration.
What are you, Barney, kind of tight?
Sure. I got a guilty conscience. I defended you, Steve, because I found the wrong man was on trial. So I torpedoed Queeg for you. I had to torpedo him. And I feel sick about it.
Okay, Barney, take it easy.
You know something? When I was studying law, and Mr. Kiefer here was writing his stories, and you, Willie, were tearing up the playing fields of dear old Princeton, who was standing guard over this fat, dumb, happy country of ours, eh? Not us. Oh, no, we knew you couldn't make any money in the service. So who did the dirty work for us? Queeg did, and a lot of other guys. Tough, sharp guys who didn't crack up like Queeg.
But no matter what, Captain Queeg endangered the ship and the lives of the men.
He didn't endanger anybody's life. You did, all of you. You're a fine bunch of officers.
You said yourself he cracked.
I'm glad you brought that up, Mr. Painter, because that's a very pretty point. You know, I left out one detail on the court-martial. Wouldn't have helped our case any. Tell me, Steve, after the Yellowstone business, Queeg came to you guys for help and you turned him down, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
You didn't approve his conduct as an officer. He wasn't worthy of your loyalty. So you turned on him. You ragged him. You made up songs about him. If you'd given Queeg the loyalty he needed, do you suppose the whole issue would have come up in the typhoon? You're an honest man, Steve. I'm asking you. Do you think it would have been necessary for you to take over?
It probably wouldn't have been necessary.
Yeah.
If that's true, then we were guilty.
Ah, you're learning, Willie. You're learning that you don't work with the captain because you like the way he parts his hair. You work with him because he's got the job or you're no good. Well, the case is over. You're all safe. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. And now we come to the man who should have stood trial. The Caine's favorite author. The Shakespeare whose testimony nearly sunk us all. Tell him, Kiefer.
No, you go ahead. You're telling it better.
You ought to read his testimony. He never even heard of Captain Queeg.
Let's forget it, Barney.
Queeg was sick. He couldn't help himself. But you, you're real healthy. Only you didn't have one-tenth the guts that he had.
Except I never fooled myself, Mr. Greenwald.
I'm going to drink a toast to you, Mr. Kiefer. From the beginning, you hated the Navy. And then you thought up this whole idea. And you managed to keep your skirts nice and starched and clean, even in the court-martial. Steve Merrick will always be remembered as the mutineer. But you'll publish your novel. You'll make $1 million, you marry a big movie star, and for the rest of your life you'll live with your conscience, if you have any. Now here's to the real author of the Caine Mutiny. Here's to you, Mr. Kiefer.
And at that point, he throws a glass of champagne in Mr. Kiefer's face. I don't know how the human mind works. Maybe something bubbled to the surface and that popped in because that of one word in that monologue. Barrel. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. Remember, before the Al Franken controversy broke, before anybody else knew about it, hours before anybody else knew about it, a guy named Roger Stone, one of the most original and most practiced masters of the political dark arts, banned from Twitter through an intermediary account, declared, "Soon it will be Al Franken's time in the barrel." What does that mean, in the barrel? It means the same thing that it means in Barney's monologue. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. Fish, you see, are easy to shoot in a barrel. That speaks more than a little bit to a degree of plan. And if there was more than one person involved in this plan, and there had to be, because we've got Roger Stone and we've got Leanne Tweeden, well, then we get to use the word, and not inaccurately, because I am a practitioner of the art of word knowing, we get to use the word conspiracy. And please forgive me. I am not given to conspiracy theories. I don't like conspiracy theories. Some conspiracy theories make my head feel like it's going to explode. But it's becoming harder and harder to avoid or evade feeling like something else is afoot. Because this. Also last night broke the story of John Conyers of Michigan with the reporting being done stating that he had settled a case surreptitiously over sexual harassment and citing witnesses to claim the same. It was damning as hell. And it took, but here's what's interesting. In the article itself, it took something approaching a dozen paragraphs before the reporter admitted that the story was published in connivance with another one of those right-wing Republican ratfuckers. And ratfuck, by the way, for those put off by the language, is a term of art that goes back to the Nixon administration. It was the shorthand term that they used for underhanded, backstabbing, political dirty tricks. This morning, in response to it, Representative Conyers said that the payment was real. but in turn said it was not over issues relating to sexual harassment. He denied the sexual harassment charge. Outright. But that's okay. Because the damage is done. The weapon found its mark. And, of course, there obligatory pearl clutching began. Do I say this because I'm some sort of hardcore left-wing partisan? I suppose the argument could be made that I do, but I'm telling you that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that about Charlie Rose. I'm not saying that about Harvey Weinstein. And remember, all of these people have been described at one time or another as liberals. Okay? Here's the problem. And I'm gonna you're probably gonna freak right the hell out in a minute. We started. Let me see how best to go about this. Maybe running up into the present time would help. I don't know. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you, Marty. Thank you for the reminder. Remember when a certain South Carolina governor went to hike the Appalachian Trail? And none of us realized that the Appalachian Trail ran to Argentina, where his lover, who was not his good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Republican family values, one man, one woman wife, was at the time, and so was he. Yeah, he was Governor Sanford, governor of South Carolina at the time, a fellow by the name of Mark Sanford. The people of South Carolina tutted and then punished him by sending him to the House of Representatives. It's okay if you're a Republican. Do you remember when when this controversy that's gripped our national consciousness began, there were members of the Congress who said, "I am aware of both Republicans and Democrats who have done these things." Remember that being said? It was said in a congressional hearing by a female member. Where are the Republicans? I mean, we've got Al Franken in the billiard room with the knife. We've got John Conyers in the conservatory with the lead pipe. Where's Colonel Mustard of the Republican Party? In the kitchen? With the candlestick? Oh, Roy Moore. Wait. A year ago, Donald Trump was elected. A little more than a year ago now. 1 year and 13 days. As Jason Isbell recently said in an interview for GQ, "I'm still not convinced that the American people elected Donald Trump." And Jason's not known for being a wild-eyed conspiracy theorist, and he's clean and sober. meant something when he said that. I'm still not convinced the American people elected Donald Trump. But in the weeks prior to that, he had been heard on tape bragging about committing not one, not two, but a number uncertain of sexual assaults. Grab them by the... You just go up and start kissing them. And then you grab them by the... And you can do that if you're famous. And America exploded, metaphorically speaking, with the idea that that a guy would run for president who had that kind of a past. And you know what the Republicans said? I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. Then it turned out that he had a creepy, skeevy habit of slipping into teenage girls' dressing rooms at beauty pageants and just having a good gander at their nudity. You can do that if you own the pageant, you can do that, and they can't do anything to stop you. Yeah, I know. It feels like that. Steve in New York says, don't you mean 1 year and 13 years? Yeah, I do. Republicans elected him anyway. Republicans in Alabama, Republicans in West Virginia, Republicans in Louisiana, Republicans in Michigan, Republicans in Wisconsin, Republicans in Pennsylvania, Republicans in Florida. Republicans elected him. And you know who else elected him? Yes, that elusive creature that you have to move up ever so slowly to find, but are said to exist in vast numbers across the country. The 2012 Obama voter who became the 2016 Trump voter. And, of course, they all had terrible economic anxiety. Their economic anxiety, and so did the Klansmen, and so did the Nazis and the neo-Nazis and the bigots and the homophobes and the xenophobes and the skinheads, they all were absolutely bent double by economic anxiety, and their economic anxiety was so bad that they could even vote for a rapist because there were those allegations too. Oh, they were in terrible distress, those economically anxious Obama-Trump voters and those economically anxious skinheads and economically anxious neo-Nazis and Klansmen and xenophobes and homophobes and bigots and whatnot. And so, for some reason this morning, because I can't, I just can't sit there or sit here and be on the air every night. And this bothers me enough that I haven't even bothered to tell you about Damn Right Daikon from Horn Labs. Damn Right Daikon is packed with a full day's supply of daikon goodness from the Orient. Mysteries of ancient wisdom. Damn Right Daikon, only from Horn Labs. Remember, if you send in, if you order up a 3-month supply for only $113.62, we will send you a 3-month supply of Damn Right Daikon, along with a little bundle of test strips, so you can personally test your Damn Right Daikon and know for a fact that it is absolutely worthless, that it has no nutritional value whatsoever and may not even have any daikon in it. Damn Right Daikon, only from Horn Labs. You know, I've never cared much for daikon. But thanks to those hard-working peripatetic scientists at Horn Labs, I can get daikon goodness into my nutritional mix every single day. Damn Right Daikon, only from Horn Labs. Accept no substitutes, post no bills, use no hooks. This side up, FOB, COD, ZIP, CODE, Damn Right Daikon from Horn Labs. But I started thinking about people like Mark Sanford and David Vitter. I thought about how long it took to finally chase Newton Leroy Gangrene from the speakership in the House of Representatives when he had been having sexy time with a woman not his wife, at the same time that he was upbraiding Bill Clinton for doing considerably less. And, of course, that woman that he was having sexy time with is now, because the goddess of irony is a very good goddess, our ambassador to the Holy See of St. Peter. I don't know if Pope Frank has a sense of humor, but if I were him, I would call in the U.S. ambassador to the Holy See every day, and have her go and gargle with holy water for an hour or something. I mean, we wouldn't want her spending a whole lot of time in purgatory for all that fucking adultery she committed. You know, with Newt. That's not slut shaming. Newt committed it too. But again, hey, come on. IOKIYAR. And this morning I did. I started thinking about all the people who've been caught up in this dragnet. And you know what they all share in common? Each one has been, to one degree or another, an enemy of Donald Trump. Yeah, even Roy Moore. Remember, Roy Moore was not supposed to be in the race. The The hand-picked, fair-haired boy was supposed to be and was endorsed by the Trump administration as the next senator of the state of Alabama, to wit, former Alabama Attorney General Big Luther Strange. And if you followed the stories at all, you know, and again, remember, it was at a rally for Big Luther Strange where, of course, the carotene Claudius worked himself into a lather and created the NFL kneeling flag controversy. But But they had eagerly endorsed Big Luther Strange, and after he was beaten, because 15% of eligible voters turned out for the special election, for the runoff thereof, and Big Luther got 6.5% got 6.5% of the eligible voters of Alabama, but Roy Tolamore got 7.5%. Trump stormed around the White House in a fit of white, and I do mean white, no, sort of pale orange fury. There were reports of how furious he was, how angry he was, how humiliated he felt, especially because he'd been whipped by the man that John Kelly made him get rid of, namely Steve Bannon. And so even Roy Moore was titularly on the wrong side of Donald Trump. I've been looking through these allegations. I can't find anybody who wasn't on the wrong side of Donald Trump who's been caught up in this. And then my mind turns back to the fact that Donald Trump is all but lead pipe cinch proven to be a serial adulterer. He has been repeatedly accused of and sued for sexual harassment and settled said cases. And by his own admission, is a groper, or what in a former generation would have been referred to as a masher. And yet somehow or another, all of this stuff has managed to come out, and here we are. I want to be abundantly clear. I am not defending any of the conduct. It was there, and it was there, ripe for exploitation by anyone who could dig it up. Now, there's your question. How did it get dug up? All I can tell you is that in the world of what they refer to as kompromat, the two prime levers that the Russians are known to use and have used for goddamn generations are financial dodginess, financial misbehavior, and sexual misbehavior. So this morning, as that word barrel triggered me, I began to wonder, has someone in the Trump White House found out that Robert Mueller has the PP tape? Because this is the kind of warfare that you begin, that you initiate, if you know that somebody has a much bigger gun. Does Robert Mueller have the PP tape? What's more, does he have the St. Petersburg tape, rumored to exist? Now, we're just a wee tiny little community here that does not have the power to influence. Hi, everybody who listens. Doesn't have the power to influence the national dialogue. so we can have this conversation among ourselves. And I'd like to hear from you, hear your thoughts on this. Because, God damned if it doesn't just seem too convenient. There has to be a reason. As Sherlock Holmes noted, once you have eliminated the impossible, whatever is left, no matter how improbable, is the answer. Or we could go for a shave with Occam's razor. The simplest answer is most often the correct one. And the simplest answer is that this was done for the purpose of protecting or insulating Donald Trump against something really big that is coming down the pike. So, take that for what it's worth. Again, do not for a single instant think that I am attacking the accusers or disbelieving them. Because we live, because innocent until proven guilty is a legal standard for courtrooms. In the court of public opinion, it is and long has been the exact opposite, guilty until proven innocent, which necessarily is a hell of a lot harder standard to beat. Sometimes I think of it as the Homer Simpson standard. Remember the one where he wound up on the tropical island and became addicted to licking toads? He was hallucinating his brains out, and Marge asked him on a phone call, "Homer, are you licking toads?" And Homer replied, "I'm not licking toads." A Homer defense. So, I would like to have your thoughts on this. And, in fact, I welcome them. And then there's other stuff to talk about this evening, of course, too. Oh, yes. Good deal of stuff. There's the net neutrality opinion. And a lot of other people have done a lot better work on net neutrality, and I have not spent a lot of time on it, simply because other people do better work on it. So with that in mind, I'll just say this. What the FCC is contemplating might very well mean the end of the horn. I hope it doesn't. But this community is never going... This community is never going to be able to pay for an internet fast lane. We're never going to be able to pay to play. It's everything we can do to pay for what we do now. So that story is in the mix. Other stuff as well, including, but not limited to, the most recent declared today, you know, Donald Trump finally got into the corner and turned into who he is. And the closest thing to full-on remarks about Roy Moore today, Donald Trump absolved him. No, I'm not kidding. Asked about Roy Moore, Trump responded, "If you look at what is really going on, and you look at all the things that have happened over the last 48 hours, he totally denies it. He says it didn't happen, and you know, you have to listen to him also." And then went on to say that it would be, no, I'm not kidding. He said to, "I can tell you for a fact that we do not need somebody that's going to be bad on crime, bad on borders, bad with the military, bad for the Second Amendment. And 40 years is a long time. Roy ran 8 races, and this has never come up." But it's been in the background all along. It's the terrible on crime part that sort of crawls under my skin. I guess Doug Jones is terrible on crime if you're one of the maggots. If you're a Trumpanzee. If you're one of the neo-Nazis or Klansmen, of whom there are, and their sympathizers, of whom there are far more in this country than we ever freaking dreamed, Doug Jones is terrible on crime because Doug Jones finally made damn sure that the vile, hateful, racist, filthy, disgusting people, men, who blew up little girls in a church in Birmingham almost a generation before, went to prison for the rest of their lives. He's terrible on crime. I can tell you he's terrible on crime. Those poor men. You have to listen to them also. But this is the come around. This is the makeup with Steve Bannon. So just keep that in mind. That's all I can really say on the thing. Keep it in mind. And maybe, just maybe, instead of being a member of the mob, apply a judicious dose of logic and reason before we join in with the ranks of the hand wringers and the pearl clutchers. Again, I am not saying I am not attacking the victims. Some of these stories have been around for a while. The reporter on the Washington Post story about Charlie Rose said she has been working on this case since 2010. 7 years. She's been trying to get someone to go public on this long career of abusive, apparently abusive, not apparently abusive, but abusive apparent conduct by Charlie Rose. But if someone disputes the charges and does so with credibility, then I think every case has to be judged on an ad hoc basis. See, that's the thing. Mark Sanford, Republican, David Bitter, Republican, they were caught red-handed. And they were told, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. So, just give it your consideration. I'm not saying I'm right about this. I'm not at all certain that I am. But we certainly seem, especially on the so-called progressive left, ready to buy in at anything the Republicans say and then wait for them to self-report or wait for them to self-police or self-regulate. Again, in an open hearing of Congress, a female member of Congress said, I am aware of charges against both men, or both Democrats and Republicans. And yet we're only hearing about the Democrats. I would like to know why. Is it because everybody knows that if it's a Republican, it'll be I-O-K-I-Y-A-R all over again? That there won't be enough, that some filthy Republican won't bring as many eyeballs and clicks to the situation as a Democrat will? I don't know. So, you know, for your consideration. All right, then. 3 minutes past the hour. Again, we're trying to raise $255 this evening. It would be nice if we could do that, and then I don't got to talk about it anymore. Because by the time we get around to Friday, if it's $4.55, yeah, I love our little Friday on the front porch miracles, but they are a little nerve miracling, if you get my meaning. Okay, then, a break, and then your calls. Somebody's already on hold, and we'll see who that is when we come back. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
It's Tuesday, November 21, 2017.
This clears a major state hurdle. Now, of course, we'll see all the lawsuits come in.
Nebraska green lights Keystone XL pipeline, but it still may not get built. Virginia moves to cut emissions 30% by 2030. Trump withdraws plan to lift ban on importing elephant body parts. Plus,
the Tesla Semi will go 0 to 60 in 5 seconds.
Elon Musk introduces breakthrough all-electric long-haul semi-truck.
And the crowd goes wild. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
If you just can't stand it at Thanksgiving, you know, turn to him and say, you may not believe in global warming, but global warming believes in you.
Right.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, what I really want to talk about is Tesla's new semi-truck, but let's go ahead and start with Keystone.
All right. Nebraska's Public Service Commission voted 3-2 to approve the controversial Keystone XL pipeline, which had been previously rejected by former President Barack Obama and then re-permitted by President Trump.
Motion carries 3-8, 2-9.
Nebraska regulators' vote came just days after a major 210,000-gallon oil spill on the already existing Keystone pipeline in South Dakota, and after nearly a decade of opposition from landowners and Native American tribes whose land values and water supplies would be directly impacted by any spill. However, the state's okay does not mean that the pipeline will get built. The Nebraska Commission approved a slightly different route than the one requested by TransCanada, the pipeline developer. So now the company must negotiate new right-of-way agreements with landowners. Opponents have also vowed to sue, and even TransCanada itself has said it hasn't decided yet if it even has enough customers to justify the project's cost amid low global oil prices.
So we're going to see lawsuits from all sides, from landowners who don't want their land taken away by eminent domain, and all of it may be for naught if oil prices don't get up above $60, where they've been hanging now for the last year or two.
Elections have consequences. Nebraska's public service commissioners are elected positions. But over in Virginia, where a spate of Democrats were elected to the state legislature and to the governorship just a few weeks ago, state regulators have now proposed new rules to cut Virginia's carbon dioxide emissions from its electricity sector by 30% by 2030. And the state will now join the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, a carbon emissions trading market of northeastern states that has reduced emissions and raised billions of dollars in revenue from polluting industries.
Voters showed up. Voters put Democrats into office, and now it's becoming a reality in Virginia.
In Bonn, Germany, the latest United Nations climate conference just wrapped up negotiations on the landmark Paris Climate Agreement to cut the global carbon emissions that cause dangerous global warming. Inside Climate News reports that little progress was made in hammering out technical mechanisms for implementing the accord. However, the conference did succeed in an unspoken goal, preventing the Trump administration from enticing other nations to backslide on their targets and otherwise undermine the agreement in the wake of U.S. President Donald Trump's vow to withdraw from it in 2020.
You mean the Trump administration's coal presentation at the climate conference did not go over well?
No. Essentially, the world is trying to hold the line until America gets a new president. Speaking of the Trump administration, after a huge public outcry, the administration has temporarily withdrawn a proposal to lift an Obama-era ban on the import of elephant body parts, or trophies, back into the U.S. The administration had used the debunked claim that killing the elephants helps save them by increasing hunting tourism revenue. Trump says he'll now reconsider whether to end that import ban.
Good.
Finally, Elon Musk, the billionaire inventor and founder of Tesla, on Thursday unveiled the Tesla all-electric long-haul semi-truck to compete directly with conventional semis. As mentioned, it'll go from 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. And
there's no transmission. Transmission can't break. There are no emissions, no scrubbers, no differentials. And this is the feature I like best, thermonuclear explosion-proof glass.
Now, he may have oversold the part about the thermonuclear explosion-proof glass. However, he also promised...
Survives a nuclear explosion or you get a full refund.
So there's that.
Musk says the fully loaded Tesla Semi, ready in 2019, will go 500 miles on a single charge. And although it won't be cheap, several corporations, including Walmart, have already placed pre-orders.
Very cool. Of course, if he says it'll be ready by 2019, I will look forward to seeing it in 2025. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. And from Desi Doyen and me to you and yours, we hope you all have a warm, safe, and happy Thanksgiving. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound up, watch your bandit run.
Well, you know it. You knew it kind of had to be either that or Convoy or Wolf Creek Pass. So, I like the upbeat of Jerry Reed and Eastbound and Down from Smokey and the Bandit. Anyway, it is 13 minutes past the hour on this Titanic Tuesday on the horn on this 21st day of November 2017. Let's run over to the just a reminder, because I find I don't say these things enough, because I guarantee you sometime tomorrow night I'll get a "Why aren't you live?" Email or message of some sort. The program will not be live tomorrow night. The program will not be live on Thursday. The program will be live on Friday. Plus, there will be 2 hours of fill-in on the Malloy program on Progressive Voices. Okay, just so we're clear on that. All right, let's. My goodness gracious, let's run out to Hawaii and see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Aloha.
Aloha, Ken. What's happening?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. You?
Kind of pissed. Yeah, waking up to that net neutrality shit.
Yeah, I'm not real happy.
You know, and, meanwhile, they're wasting so much damn time, you know, on Al Franken and now Charlie Rose. But you don't hear a peep about the other assholes. You know, I'm sick of that shit.
It's maddening, without a doubt, beyond any shadow of a doubt. It is absolutely maddening that something like this takes a back seat. Now, that's not to say that it's not getting coverage. I'm seeing coverage, but I'm not seeing it top any newscasts or anything like that. And this is a real threat. Part of the actual memo that Ajit Pai, our FCC commissioner, has endorsed and will present in greater fullness tomorrow, expressly lets the providers create fast lanes.
Jeez.
In which case, we're kind of, you know, screwed.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to my wife this morning. It just screws anybody who tries to publish anything themselves, you know, because then there's all these extra fees and you just can't compete. There's no way you're going to be able to compete. You know, nobody's going to see you. You know, they've already delisted most of the progressive websites and everything from, like, the search engines here recently. Within the last couple of months, I'm hearing all the stories of, people searching in Democracy Now! And just all the different things.
Democracy Now!, Alternet, Think Progress.
Yeah.
And
of course, I already know where to go, but that doesn't, you know, for people who don't, you know, how the hell are they going to find this out?
Right, and what I want to know, and nobody's saying this, and it would frankly be helpful. For instance, any of those websites you go to, they'll pop you up a message saying we're being delisted, our traffic is down, and they're massive percentages. I would be interested to know if, say, Breitbart is getting delisted, or if their traffic is down. I'd be interested to know if any of these other right-wing swill pits are getting the same treatment. If not, then we know that the fix is in, right?
Yes. There's just too much stuff going on too quick. all at once. I'm sure you heard of the story with the Marines being expelled and in a private Russian contractor taking over their job, guarding the embassy.
Yeah, had that, I think, a few nights ago. Yeah.
I mean, it's just adding up one on top of the other, and all this stuff in the background. Everybody thinks, oh, we'll be able to fix it. Oh, it's happening too fast. You know? I just don't understand how they're able to blow all their shit through so damn fast, and we spend years just getting one thing passed.
Well, you know, Steve in New York has made the argument in the past that the other side is much better at this than we are, and I'm coming around to his conclusion.
Well, they use dirty tactics, and we don't.
Well,
so,
and look what happened. I mean, we had a majority in for the first year or so of the first 2 years of the Obama administration, we had a House majority and a Senate majority, but it took the better part of 2009 to get that Senate majority, and it still wasn't a 60 vote majority, and consequently, Mitch McConnell just said no.
Now, that's after letting the Republicans put their own amendments in it and everything.
Right. Now, when we get to this Congress...
We are bipartisan. They are not. Every time we do something, we have to get their input and listen to their asses and take their feelings into condition and all. And then when they get in there, be damned anything.
Well, that's
be
because
damned anybody
bully...
who isn't their donor.
That's because they're bullies, thugs, and fascists, Ken.
Yes, I know they're fascists. It's obvious. They're the definition of fascism. You know, they have taken over our government, and they only care about corporations. When a corporation, Mitt Romney has the balls to sit there and say, corporations are people, my friend, or what was that quote? Yeah, corporations are people, my friend. It's like, no, they're not. You know, an artificial entity is not my friend. I'm sorry, it never will be. It's artificial, for one.
It's immortal, and it is, and because you can't kill it, it is outside the scope of most legal remedies. That's why I was arguing back with the data breach related to Equifax that at some point in time we need a real live honest to God corporate death penalty law.
Death penalty. Yeah.
That takes in shareholders and officers and everybody.
Now, what happened with Enron? There is no such thing as Enron anymore, right?
Right.
They got the death penalty. Why can't we do that anymore?
Well, but Enron got a death penalty that was Enron suicided in many ways.
Yes, it was bankrupted by all the balloons.
Yeah, that was not a case of government action resulting in the death of Enron.
No, what was it? The Jeffrey Skilling and the other guy making all these fake corporations that they were sitting there selling their own, stock to back and forth and just inflating it. It's an old pump and dump scam.
Sure it is, and then there's the Wall Street meltdown, the too big to fail meltdown. How many perps did the perp walk on that one? Yeah, not so many, right?
No, it's just it's one-sided. We're really looking at a one-sided game, you know.
Well, the House never loses, and in this case they play with a loaded deck and loaded dice and breaks on the roulette wheel. I mean, you're fucked when you walk through the door.
Yeah. This net neutrality thing. I mean. For people who are in rural areas who can't get anything but maybe satellite or they're you're screwed. Unless you're in a major city that has more than one kind of carrier, they're going to totally be able to screw anything because that one carrier is going to then be able to dictate what you're able to see, just like a damn cable company.
Exactly. And, well... I don't even begin to know what a fast lane would look like for somebody like us who is out there doing this all independently in the first place. The people have had, and it has had a negative impact on the community. The devil's own time just getting the stream on this program, and if it wasn't for HeadOn.live, we'd have been off the air for the last 3 weeks. Because
that's what I've been listening to for the last couple of months now. The HeadOn.live.
Yeah. Because
when you brought that online, I switched over to that, and I've just stayed with that. Because my connection out here is so pitiful. It's horrible. I mean, I'm supposed to be getting 7 megs, and I don't even get one. And that one is interrupted every 5 to 10 seconds with 5 to 10 to 15, 20 second breaks. So you'll have just drops sometime. All these drops, you know, it's crazy. It's a very, very, you know, unreliable system out here, unless you live in town.
Yeah, and so much for all those promises that if we just get rid of net neutrality, the ISPs will give us all Frisbees and wheat checks and 100 meg download speed and 20 meg up. No, they're not going to do that. Of course they're not going to do that. But what I was going to tell you is that, interestingly, the attacks have been so hot and heavy on the White Rose stream, and, you know, I've consulted with Ben about this, and let's be clear, especially to all the people who swear up and down that Pooty Poot is just a sweet, cuddly old fella who would never hurt a flea, there have been 80,000 separate attacks on the White Rose streamer since September, and the vast majority of them are from where? That's right, Russia.
Or Moldova, or...
Russia. In this case, Russia.
Yeah. Well, they were outsourcing a lot of it through Moldova and then one other country, during the election and stuff.
Macedonia.
Macedonia, that's it.
Yeah.
I know it was an Ilm. this stuff is worrying me, you know. And that's why, you know, I don't post. That's why I don't even go in chat rooms. I'm scared to death of putting an online fingerprint. Me talking to you is my only thing I've ever done because I am so scared of being recorded and everything. I mean, I've been so paranoid all my life because I knew this was coming. I don't know why I knew it was coming. I just did because I grew up in technology. And, you know, my first thing I did, what first thing I played with was Pong. You know, I had Pong when I was a little kid, and I just kept going with electronics and everything from there, and I just knew there's something wrong with it. In a way, it's something wrong.
Well, and look, the internet almost has to be attacked, Ken, because the free flow of information is something that totalitarians and authoritarians can't tolerate. A wide open internet democracy, so to speak, is nothing but a horror to them. And if they can get us to retreat within ourselves, and guess what, eliminating net neutrality is that, then they've won half the battle. And you're right, that's frightening. The ripple effects are tremendous. You've got amazing amounts of commerce being done online now, to the point that we've lost our so-called retail. A lot of our retail infrastructure, Kmart, Sears, gone.
It's disappearing. You know, Roy Moore's not going to have a mall to go to much longer.
Wait a minute. Time out. Yeah, that gets a good solid jingle. Roy Moore's not going to have a mall to go to. Oh, that's
cool.
Good.
I don't know if I've got one of them.
That's very good. That's very good, Ken. So it's kind of like the industrial manufacturing base of the United States. What if it turns out that we need one of those? Oh, I'm sorry. All your furnaces and forges. I'm sorry. All your forges and foundries and furnaces are in China now, bub. Oh, you wanted to build some tanks and airplanes? Well, we can't build more than, you know, 5 or 10 of those at a time. You know, this is that one of a nail a shoe was lost kind of thing. But it's chilling. Go ahead.
I lived in New Orleans before here, and when I lived in New Orleans, I was a commercial diver offshore, and I did that. I told myself I was only going to do it 10 years because I knew how bad it was going to be for my body. But naively, I was thinking that I could go into the oil industry and kind of influence it. You know, I was lucky to get out of there alive. I saw people killed. You know, and if they didn't like you and they thought you might be, you know, documenting something the oil industry was doing, they would almost, you know, run you off or let you have an accident or shit like that, you know, because they didn't want you to, you know, any of this stuff getting out, you know. And towards the last years of New Orleans, I was there 8 years, and in the last 2 or 3 years, I left diving and went into working at a warehouse manager, and that's what I did back in Virginia before I went to New Orleans. But I worked in pipe, valves, and fittings. And, of course, doing the diving, I already knew pipe, valves, and fittings. I always knew pipe, valves, and fittings. And behind our warehouse, there's a railroad track. And they started shipping military surplus, not like military vehicles, Jeeps, Humvees, all that, you know, tanks even. We saw tanks towards the end. Before the Iraq War was even thought of, all of a sudden we started all seeing all this military stuff going back and forth over this train track behind us in Metairie, Louisiana. And we're like, what the hell's going on? And it was like before 9/11, but right after Bush got elected. So we knew we were going to war even before 9/11. It was scary. I mean, I knew it.
Right, because all the signs were there.
Yeah. He threatened his daddy.
He tried to kill my daddy. Right. Sorry. I don't know why I have to do the stupid Bush voice, but it seems...
Last night I was listening to Ian Masters and Background Briefing, and they're talking about all this shit that's going down in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, this freaking new prince, he's only 32 years old, and him and old Jared are butt buddies. You know, they had like a sleepover one night, you know, stayed up watching Netflix or some shit and playing in the rest of the world. And then a day or two later, they put the shit on Qatar.
Oh, it was a night of the long knives for the Saudi princes themselves. I mean, those two. You've got to be deadly. I mean, you realize one of the first ones they detained, right?
Yeah, the richest dude, the richest prince that
the guy who owns the majority minority share of Fox freaking News.
Yeah, Saleed or something. I can't think of it right now.
Yeah,
but he's like, you know, top, you know, in the top 15 or 20 richest people in the world.
Not that I'm going to sit here and shed great buckets of tears over Saudi princes and princelings. I bear that country no love whatsoever. I've begun to sort of despair of much resembling democracy taking root in any of those countries.
Well, it sounds like the prince there is doing it, and maybe you're going to try to transfer some of this wealth to Jared so that they can pay off that 666 building in New York, because he's got a balloon payment coming up, I think, next year, and for like over $500 million. So half a billion dollars or $1 billion, and he was trying to get a half a billion from the Qataris, and then when they told him no, that was when he got Saudi Arabia to do this shit to them. Oh man, it's really not sounding good. And then of course the Yemen war, you know.
Oh, that's filthy. That's just filthy. And if you follow the American media, the for-profit media, reporting
the 60
on,
Minutes thing
on Yemen. You know what's surprisingly absent? Our
right that we're doing it.
Yeah, our role in it.
Yeah, how can people even care when they don't know? 90% of this country is so absent of info, you know, they can't have a voice because they don't know to have a voice.
Right. How are you going to know? How do you know your house is... Well, no, that doesn't work. You're right. I was trying to come up with an analogy. It's like being warm and not knowing your house is on fire. But if you don't, and that, you know, that's the problem we have here, Ken, is that everybody involved in the Horn community is plugged into information. We are constantly taking in information, sorting it out, comparing stories and things like that. And you know, what a horror it is that in a country such as ours, being that serious about information constitutes a bubble. Because it is. It's a bubble. And it's dangerous because we can assume, it's easy to assume that other people are, you know, at least considering things on a similar level when they're not. There's a whole bunch of people in my state who know everything that they know about politics. They know because they either watch Fox News or get it from their preacher on Sunday.
Or they hear the right-wing talk radio, because even here in Hawaii, we have the stupid talk right-wing talk.
I mean, Limbaugh and that lot? Ugh.
Well, no, we actually kicked Limbaugh off. It's so cool. Off the station out here. So they don't, you know, it was what do you call it, syndicated anyway, but they were able to get him taken off because there was just so much complaint out here. But we're so damn isolated out here, you know, and our senators try, you know, I think Brian Schatz was one of the first ones speaking up this morning about the damn net neutrality. But, you know, when you speak up and it's like in the middle of a forest, it doesn't matter. That's what
feels like. And when if you try early and you speak up, and you're immediately drowned out by Charlie Rose, Charlie Rose, Charlie Rose, Charlie Rose.
Yep.
I mean, I watched, you know, I've got my dirty little habit, and I got up and I watched this morning, and the first hour, I don't know, it was like every bit of a half hour or more before they ever segued away from Charlie Rose. I know. Yeah.
It's nuts. That's why Virginia, because I lived in Norfolk and I was right there by the damn largest military base and on the East Coast, and I grew up next to that shit and I was scared of it all my life. I was like, man, as soon as we get bombed, the bombs are coming here.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, many years ago, my uncle was the commander of the Norfolk Naval Air Station. So, I've got an idea of how big an outfit that is, and sure, it's a target. But you know, even I here in Appalachia get a little nervous because it almost seems like there's a correlation when I. We don't see a lot of fighter aircraft, you know, military jets and stuff zipping over. And then when they do start doing that, usually some shit hits the fan.
Yeah, you're wondering what the hell's going down.
Because, you know, our little mountains and gorges and things like that are instructive to fly through and fly around and fly over because they just happen to resemble mountainous places somewhere else.
Like Afghanistan.
Yeah, or North
just
Korea,
with
or you know, Iran, or who knows, Iraq. Yeah, there's mountains in Iraq. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to be Debbie Downer, You know, I'm always Debbie Downer, and it's, I don't have nobody to talk to, so I don't know what to do. It just eats on me. And then being hurt, I'm stuck at home a lot, so it's like,
I understand. I really, really do. Well, Ken, it's good to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk to you one time more serious and not let you think all I do is smoke weed.
No, that's fine. I kind of wish I was
totally plugged in.
I would love to be hanging out in paradise smoking weed about now. Believe me, I would. As it is, it's just sort of, you know, wide-eyed into the nightmare.
Yeah. It only takes care of physical pains. Mental pains, it actually only, it doesn't do but so much.
Yeah, right. It only goes so far with existential anguish, and it's not worth a fuck against absurdity.
No. Now, if we could get, you know, orange fucker to smoke some, maybe. I don't know. It's either the spirochetes or just pure spite. I don't know what's going on in his head.
Spiteful spirochetes. That sounds like
there you go.
They tried that. They tried that at Horn Labs, and then I put the kibosh on it because it just didn't. No. Maybe we can sell that to the Republicans or something. But no. Ken, take it easy. Enjoy yourself. Have yourself a good evening, and we'll talk soon.
And everybody have a happy holidays.
And a very happy autumnal feast to you.
Y'all influenced me on the food, all the food talking.
Yeah.
I'm making some blue cornbread for this holidays.
Oh, very cool. Blue cornbread. That's found yourself some blue cornmeal, did you?
Yes.
Nice, nice. And mine'll just be yellow, but it'll still be yummy. But that's neat. Yeah.
Well, with blue, you know it's not GMO, so.
Well, that's the absolute truth. It's thousands and thousands.
There is
of
no
years
blue
old.
Corn GMO yet, so that's one way to definitely get non-GMO.
Very cool.
But I'll let y'all go. I totally appreciate the time.
Oh, anytime, Ken. Anytime you want.
Y'all have a good one.
All right,
aloha.
Aloha. That's our buddy Ken calling from Hawaii. Oh, by the way, speaking of Hawaii, I've got a new Hawaiian word for you. You'll enjoy this. O'umuamua. O'umuamua. One more time. O'umuamua. It apparently means visitor from far away who arrives first. And it is the name that has been given to a great goddamn big, huge, giant, humongous piece of rock and ice that has come into our solar system from, no kidding, another galaxy. It's the first time that astronomers have seen anything of the sort. Granted, everything that's in our solar system eventually came from, originally came from the Big Bang, but this is post-Big Bang, and it's like 10 times longer than it is wide, and it was observed as it passed by the Earth. And astronomers named it O'umuamua. It's being described as an asteroid-like device. And forgive me, we have an obligatory Star Trek reference every evening. And I saw whatever representation NationalGeographic.com put up to represent it. I don't know if this is O'umuamua or if this is just some random piece of space rock. But when I saw it, music plays in my head, and I heard this. No, that's, wait, that's not the music I heard. That's that, no. No, I heard the, Hey, you know what I'm thinking about. It's not like you can hum it or anything. But I heard it. Let's see, is this it? No, no, that's not it. All right, a little ways forward. When the great big cornucopia thing is eating up planets and Kirk's old mentor goes nuts and flies the space shuttle in it to kill it. Yeah, that. No, not that either. Oh, come on. No. That one. The Jaws theme before Jaws. It's an interstellar asteroid traveling through space for millions of years before its chance encounter with us. It seems to be a dark, red, elongated, metallic, or rocky object about a quarter mile long. It is unlike anything normally found in the solar system. And I'm reading the article and I'm going, have you people never watched Star Trek? That fucking thing's gonna turn around. It's got a death ray in it, and it's gonna blast the planet. NASA astronomer Joseph Massaro, when the object was discovered, said, "This has been crazy cool. For the asteroid community, this is as big as the gravitational wave announcement. Well, I wonder how cool it's gonna be when it turns around and, you know, fries Buenos Aires." It's toddling through the solar system at something around 98,000 miles per hour. But I thought I would make mention of the story simply because it hasn't sexually abused anybody. It isn't a Trump, and it's not under investigation by anybody other than scientists. The object dims and brightens by a factor of 10 every few hours. Well, that's it warming up its energy death ray cells. God bless you people. Don't you know? It's anywhere from 590 feet to a quarter of a mile long, but only about 130 feet wide. Yes, thank you, Jack. Wait a minute. Jack gets the cowbell. Buenos Aires, Starship Troopers reference? Of course it is. Oh my God, the Romulans do everything in threes. sorry, Marty, Jack got to it first. Buenos Aires, so there's a non-obligatory reference to Starship Troopers? Which you clearly didn't get the movie adaptation? I saw the movie. I didn't like the movie. That's it. Okay. Now we're diving deep on it. Stephen New York says, it looked like the probe that was looking for the whales to me, the one with the whales. You know, it's Thanksgiving. We're supposed to name things that we're grateful for. I'm grateful for you guys. You're so much better at this than I am. Looks like the one that was... Yeah, wasn't that the noise it was making in space? Yeah. And the whales weren't answering back, so it was time to roast the earth or something? Yeah. Thank you, Alma. Alma says, I think what you were referencing is boiling the frog. Gaslighting, maybe? Thanks to Ken for his call. Thank you indeed. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought that was a typo, Robert. No. Oh, they're going to pull my Star Trek fan card. Not the Romulans, Bob. The Romans from Rendezvous with Rama. Okay, yes. Yeah, the Romans do everything in threes. Well, here after the program, I'll go out and feed Vol while we're at it. Vol is hungry. So is Bob. Okay, so 13 minutes before the hour. Yes, we started out with $255 to raise on the evening, and we're still at $255 to go, and not a single order for Damn Right It's Daikon, even though Damn Right It's Daikon is good for what ails you, right? Ails? See what I did? No, never mind. Let's go over and check in, because he's probably calling from the freaking hospital. Hey, Thomas.
Yes, I literally am.
How are you?
I might be abusing their Wi-Fi.
Oh, I hope you are, considering the way they've abused you.
Well, they did save my life today, so I can't complain too much.
Cowbell for saving Thomas's life.
Yes. And I got a cowbell on the air finally. I saw the Uber story and I was like, oh my God, I would so be talking about this on the air for like the whole hour. And then I saw the Meg Whitman story.
The Uber story. I don't have the Meg Whitman story.
Yes, this is just broke about 5 minutes ago. Meg Whitman, for those who don't know, was former Republican New Jersey governor of the state after the one who came out as gay.
Yes.
I can't remember his name, but she came in, then it was Chris Christie, and then we went back to, I say we because I have family through my daughter in New Jersey. And, so, Chris Christie, then the Democratic one. I find it interesting that she's stepping down and that she's been at the helm for 6 years, according to Reuters. My community will not be happy with me if I don't pronounce Reuters correctly.
Yeah.
And she was responsible for splitting HP and HPE and the
Right. That one. Yeah, I remember.
Yes.
Yeah. The woman
she
who destroyed HP, right?
Yeah. No, that was Carly Fiorina.
Oh,
this
sorry.
Is the other woman who this was the second woman who destroyed HPE.
Oh, okay.
They keep hiring Republican women to destroy HP. I don't know why. You would think after, you know, I'm all for diversity, but you would think after messing with Carly Fiorina, you would, you know, not.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, right.
Yeah, exactly. But I just, apparently not. And she's done. And maybe she'll get called ugly by Trump in 2020. I'm just saying.
I know. You're just looking for something to hang on to. Jack says I thought Meg Whitman was eBay maybe. Okay. No,
she was too. Part of the tolerable gig economy. But I noticed Ken talking about the Uber story as well, which. You know the gig economy incenses me. Like I believe there's a difference in it. It's when you're a freelance person and you choose to do it and choose to work for somebody, and then you work for a company where they grab you by the cojones and then they keep squeezing until there's nothing left and they're really, really small. And that's what Uber does and these other gig economy companies,
yeah.
Like Airbnb and everything else. And that I can't abide by. I can't.
I have never gotten in an Uber and I have never used Airbnb. I'm not using that as a point of pride, but a long time ago I read how crummy Uber drivers are treated, so I figured I would stay with, to the extent possible, cabbies who were members of unions.
Yeah, and not to mention I have a family connection to this. My uncle in Britain, where they've in London, they've successfully banned Uber for the moment, though it's on appeal again. The High Court banned them from doing their thing because they don't treat employees, like any normal business would, who hires people. It's all regulation. My uncle did the inspections for all the taxis. So I kind of like understand where the cab drivers are coming from on a personal level, as well as, you know, a love of unions and what they do and everything else. And even when I was a Republican, I had
we will speak no further of that.
Yes. Thank you. I had a love of unions because my godmother, who, like Yale New Haven, countless times saved my life. She was a member of Chicago's teachers union. And I remember her going on strike and telling me about how she had to go on strike again for better pay and wages. And I respected the crap out of that, you know, and yeah. That's how we have holidays. That's how we have certain things that people take for granted. And it drives me nuts that people want to take that away. And it also drives me nuts that I'm here and I can't talk about it on my own show. But I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to call in before I went to bed, because I might be going home tomorrow. Which
will
be
yeah,
nice.
I hope so.
So, but much to my dismay of the crazy that happened over the weekend, and I know you've read about, they did save my life today. So I'm much more glad about that. And to the dismay of some, but not so much others. And I appreciate
that. But I mean, all kidding aside and everything, they're checking in on you. The procedure went well. You're okay.
Yes.
Now you get to learn to live with this and you don't go around microwaves, right?
Well, maybe every once in a while just to make sure it's working. But kidding aside.
Well, all you had, you know. In former years, you could have just followed Dick Cheney around, and wherever he went, you knew you'd be okay.
Well, that is true.
But that involves following Dick Cheney around, and, well, who wants to march through all that gore and guts and sleep in a box every night, every morning, every day, and get up at night? It just messes with your circadian rhythms if you're an actual human being.
Well, that's true, but I am a hermit, so it kind of works out for me. This is the most I've been out all year, aside from visiting my girlfriend in Detroit. So, yeah, there's that. But, yeah, no, I am doing well, and I appreciate our talk last night, and I appreciate our community who listens to you through FYI Nation. And if you, though I can't now, but if you can donate, I again ask to help you out, because I know what putting food on the table and making rent and paying the bills and all that is for the network is like, and it's not easy. And if people expect you to be able to call you another year, maybe think of that as a Christmas present or a Festivus present or a Hanukkah present or a Kalamazoo present or Kwanzaa present or whatever you want
so
to call it.
So I have to ask, Yule. with the feast coming up, Thomas, thank you very kindly for those genuinely heartfelt words. I have to ask you.
I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it.
I know you wouldn't. Are you, what kind of restrictions, if you go home tomorrow, what kind of restrictions are you under?
None, but I may put myself under them. And I can say this here because I know she doesn't listen because she's a Trump supporter. I found out at my cousin's birthday that his mother was a Trump supporter. And I have genuine reservations about going to her house. Even though they're not going to talk politics, it's just, like, weird for me. And I adore her to death, but I don't understand how she's still a Trump supporter.
And that's kind of what I was getting at. You know, you probably don't need to get rot or anything for the next few mm-hmm. days, couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, sitting at a table where somebody should... My God, if I had Jiminy Cracky, that Trump, he sure is making America great again. It's probably not a good idea for you, Thomas.
Yeah. Even with the Rush Limbaugh quality drugs they're going to bring, sending me home with. You're right.
Okay, so. let me just be clear about this. It's okay. What the hell happened there? It's okay to take your Rush Limbaugh style drugs. Don't be brave.
I know.
Don't
I
be
know.
Heroic.
I know, but I, you know,
why
me,
are
I'm
you
one of those
giggling?
Who, if I, well, you know, Rush Limbaugh and the thought of him popping about 12 of them when I can barely take half of one.
Oh, I know. I know. No, I take that stuff, and I'm like, dude, you know, for like 18 hours. That's why when I had all my gut problems, and I finally got some relief, I'd take one of those things, and then I was no good for 24 hours. I was just like, foggy, what? Who? What? Huh? But, it exists for a reason. It exists because it works.
Yes, and preferably not be abused, and not for, you know, our donkey president to act as a show priest and then not put any money into a crisis.
Yeah, there we go.
So there's that. But I wanted to call you and, again, thank you, and put out the call because I heard you talking about it. We're okay at FYI Nation right now. Yeah,
good.
Physically and... all that. So, if you can, help Bob. Because Bob asked. And I know it's tough with the holiday. I have double trouble with my daughter being her birthday 10 days away from Christmas. But we manage every year as best we can. But if you can help, do it. And I will appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Thomas. We are off and running. Jug of Punch got us started just right now. What in God's name is happening to my audio here? Is that your Skype, or is that me?
It could very well. I'm calling from my iPhone 7 Skype phone. It might blow up in my ear, and at least I'm in the hospital for that. But I will let you go, and maybe the audio will get better. But thank you again. And... I hope the community doesn't treat you as an audience member and treats you as the community that I know we are and does help if they can. And when I can, you know I do.
I know you do.
Okay.
Thank you, Thomas. Don't wear yourself out. Rest up. It's bedtime,
yes,
Thomas. Time to go nighty-night.
Yes, boss. Yes, boss.
All right.
Bye-bye, my friend.
See you. Get well. Literally calling from the freaking hospital. That is Thomas from our friends over at FYINation.com. And hey, I can at least do the math now. Thank you, Jug of Punch. Thank you, Thomas. Thomas is awful helpful with the math. So now it's just, you know, one at 250, two at 125, four at 6250. 8 at 31 and a quarter, and then the math gets difficult to get. Math is hard. Let's run over right quickity like and check in with Steve in far Georgistan. Hey, Steve. Steve.
Hey, Bob, what's going on, brother?
Okay, I was going to say, I knew you were there because I could see, I could see early Kyler.
Yeah, I forgot to hit the moon bike down. I mean, it's always something, isn't it?
It happens. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, technical difficulties. I just wanted to call and personally wish you a happy Thanksgiving and let you know that you're appreciated. You know, that's what this holiday's all about.
Oh, gosh, that's awfully sweet. I appreciate that. That's mighty, mighty kind indeed.
And, you know, I know you got other callers on the line, but so I'll be brief. But I wanted to kind of couch what you were trying to say earlier about, you know, why you think all this skeeviness is coming out as far as, and I don't want to drag this one because I know people are sick of hearing about it. I'm frankly sick about talking about it with Charlie Rose and,
But do you understand it's a fine line, Steve? Because
yeah.
I don't want people to think I'm sick of hearing about sexual abuse and sexual harassment in the workplace. I'm just sick of it. We need to move on past it. That is not what I am saying at
no,
all.
No. And I'm not saying our tinfoil hats are too tight either. It's just, let's rewind the tape a little bit, okay? They know what happened when the Mark Foley scandal came out. That buried them. And
well,
I
Mark
think
Foley,
somebody...
Mark Sanford... But it didn't really, did it?
For that election cycle, it did. Yeah, I mean
it's like I keep hearing people say, "Well, you know, we can't be talking about impeaching Trump because you see the Republicans impeached Bill Clinton and they paid a terrible price for that." I'm sorry, I didn't notice them losing the House and Senate, and you know, 15 Supreme Court liberal. Bomb-throwing Bolshevik Trotskyite Supreme Court justices being appointed there from, like, 1998 to 2000. No.
Right.
Where's the terrible price they paid?
Didn't they lose the House and Senate, though, that cycle?
No.
That Mark Foley scandal?
Mark Foley, you know, we didn't get the House till 2008.
Right, and that's the one that was diddling with little boys, you know, and I hate talking about it. The pages, you know what I'm talking about. When that one came out, I mean, and I think their memory is recalling that, and I don't even know who they are. That's what I mean. I feel like I'm wearing a tinfoil hat. I really don't even know who they are, but I've got a feeling that somebody's out there just working overtime, digging up dirt, on anybody in the media or anybody they perceive to be even slightly left to try to play the equivalency game.
Gosh, and who does that kind of thing? I mean, who's demonstrated a history for doing that kind of thing?
Exactly. So, I mean, I think we're pretty much on the same page. I just wanted to throw that out there. So, you know, we could have an honest and open discussion about it.
Let's remember, Steve, when the DNC got hacked, at the same time the RNC got hacked. And to this day, the RNC's hacked emails have never been made public. Ever. Why?
Why? And
it's not because the RNC wasn't using email. The RNC got flat hacked, but it wasn't released.
And, you know, it astonishes me that they had all this dirt on Trump. I thought for sure the tape where he said, I like to grab women, would bury him, but it didn't.
No, because I-O-K-I-Y-A-R, Steve.
Right. And that's the point you're trying to make, and I'm trying to lead into this point and help you couch it.
But by the way, while Trump was busy saying, well, you know, it's 40 years ago, you have to listen to him also talking about Roy Moore. There was another Roy Moore revelation today. there was it was a matter of a woman who was a veteran of the Gadsden, Alabama police force stepped forward and she said, "Oh yeah, I was that person. I was the person who was tasked with making sure that Roy Moore, well, it wasn't the mall, but at high school football games and basketball games, she had the job of making sure that he didn't skeeve around on the little cheerleaders, because he liked to do that too. Her name is Faye Gary, and she was interviewed today by Andrea Mitchell, Mrs. Greenspan. We were also told to watch him at the ball games and make sure that he didn't, you know, hang around with the cheerleaders."
And why am I just hearing about this? Granted, I work and I got my nose in my computer doing work things all day, but still, I try to keep pretty astute of what's going on, even while I'm at work. All I heard today was a little bit of Al Franklin, mostly the other guy, Charlie Dude, and that was it. And another thing that I tried to couch on or touch on when we had Friday on the front porch, and I was almost afraid to even go here, but I'm going to go here now. I mean, just let's do the what if game, and I hate playing the what if because it's almost as bad as the equivalency game or the both siders game.
Wait, before you go there, you don't have to play it because you've got Roy Moore as a living example.
What if one of Roy Moore girls that allegedly came out? What if, you know, that she was a Playboy model? They would just be going absolutely batshit crazy.
Right, and to that extent, we are better than they are. But the question in the larger universe is, what if some Democratic politician was alleged to have a thing for 14-year-old little girls, and that he had, sleazed around trying to date them 30 years ago? The for-profit media would be on fire, and the Republican Party would be screaming for him to be stoned to death in the public square. Well, consider the response of Republicans to Roy effing Moore, okay? On the one hand, you've had a couple of people. I give credit where credit's due. Senator, what's his name, Bennett in Colorado said if he is elected, he should be expelled from the Senate. That is the last that has been heard of that. Okay? Plain and simple. No more. It's over. Finite. But beyond that, well, you know, if the charges against him are proven, then blah, blah, blah. When they know goddamn good and well, Steve, that there will be no charges, and there will be no proof, and there will be no tribunal, there will be no judge, there will be no jury, no prosecutor. It's nothing but the court of public opinion.
It's irritating.
And so all he has to do is brazen it out. So there's your what if it was a Republican. We've got it right in front of us. And the President of the United States just endorsed him for Senate by saying that his opponent, his Democratic opponent, would not be good on crime. The guy who put away the Birmingham church bombers.
And didn't the female governor from Alabama just endorse him too?
Kay Ivey said, "I have no reason. Yes. I have no reason to doubt the accusers, but I'm going to pull the lever for Roy Moore because we need a Republican in that Senate seat because tax reform." And boom, her ethics are she's morally bankrupt. But the thing is, we've known these fuckers were morally bankrupt for eons, and we're acting like we're shocked that they are.
Well, how many people have come out against Roy Moore now? What is it?
Nine, ten. Well, there's the ones who got groped, and there are the ones who verify that, like this woman who was tasked with making sure that he didn't creep her around on the little cheerleaders.
Well, my question for you, and I'm sorry if I sound repetitive, but what if one of the nine was a Playboy model? Don't you think they would just be dragging her through the mud?
They might, but that doesn't mean we get to, Steve.
Well, doesn't it kind of piss you off, though?
Well, first of all, I don't think that being a Playboy model,
and I don't either,
means that to be tattooed with a red letter A.
It's like I said Friday, if my daughter was a Playboy model, I would still love her and be proud of her and probably, be proud of the accomplishment she made.
Or at least the money she got paid.
Yeah.
Look, the First Lady of the United States took her clothes off for money, okay? And Donald Trump has said, well, she was a very high-class model, and that was high-class art photography. The reason he married her is because he saw naked pictures of her, okay? He didn't marry her because of her abilities with, astro-fucking-physics.
And she even came right out and said something to the effect, look at him, look at me, why the fuck do you think I married him? It wasn't because of his stunning good looks. No.
No, she thought he was really rich.
Exactly.
And New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic.
Allergic smelling hay.
Hayovichsky. Look, this is there's a bigger thing here, Steve. And I'm glad you brought it up. I come from a different place. I don't mean like geography
Mars or anything. Yeah.
No, but and I'm not I'm not saying that I was some, great. I wasn't. But I started participating in theater when I was a kid. And, some people played college ball. I did college theater, okay? It was taken very, very seriously. And they tried to teach us how to do it professionally. And I have been dressed and undressed, and usually with a stopwatch going because, you've got to turn around and make a re-entry onto stage, there would be young women standing off stage, not guys. I mean, sometimes there'd be guys. But you had a dresser. And you get off stage and you break character and boom, down to whatever you got to get down to put the next costume on. It happens. And so in that environment, and to a certain extent, athletics, high level athletics, you get used to the idea of being handled, and I don't mean like what I mean, being seen and being so. That, however, is not the same thing as, like, the Charlie Rose story, where he apparently had this thing that he did where he just got, hold on, I'm in the shower, and then would get out, and time after time, the word used was parade naked across, and I just had this picture of Charlie Rose marching naked, paraded naked across the room. But he would get out and then so one woman tells the story and another woman writes back and says, oh, he pulled the getting out of the shower naked trick. Aha.
Gotcha.
And so it's, it was kind of a pattern. It was a thing that he did. Maybe he got off on it. We don't know if he was, rampant at the time. But you don't have to be. It's just yuck. It's just yuck. I mean, why do you? But then again, and that went with other really sleazy, skeevy conduct. You know what I mean? It wasn't just that. And so it all kind of works. It works together. So no, but the initial premise, I can't help wondering when you as I described in the filibobster, when you take the totality of the circumstances, how is this happening this way? Next week the story that consumes the entire media universe will be the lady in Laurel, Mississippi, who sees the Virgin Mary in a Krispy Kreme donut.
Well, I can't recall it ever raining this much mud in this short amount of time frame without, you know, like a Roy Moore situation going on. And it all goes back to where I think they're just getting clingy. And I don't know who they are. And I want to make one more point before I go. And
I got a pretty goddamn good idea who they are, but go ahead.
I don't know if I heard this on your show or another show, but the lady that accused Al Franken, you know, the one that you Google and just find all kind of, you know, charming pictures of her. Let's leave it at that. Somebody threw her a pair of nerd glasses before she went on set for the first time and said, "Here, wear these."
Yeah, well, no, I didn't say that, but I said, you know, I did notice that in all her photography and in all the photographs she shows up in, she's not wearing nerd glasses, but, you know, right. By God.
No, I didn't say you said it. I heard it somewhere, but I don't know where. It's something else. It's floating out there in the ether.
No, it's just like they put nerd glasses on Rick Perry, okay? I mean, try to enhance credit. You know, props. Theater. It's theater. What we're looking at is theater.
Right.
Performance art of a sort.
What did the movie Videodrome say? Television is the mind's, the eye's retina, the mind, or something?
Oh, that movie still gives me nightmares. Don't even say that. that creeped me up. Weird.
Yeah. All right. On that note, I'm going to go. Me and Clint are going to dig up some bones.
Yeah,
and,
I appreciate that. But let me say, you said, you know, I don't know, and okay. I said, well, I got a pretty damn good. The same people who have the pee-pee tape are doing this.
So that's who they are.
They are the Russians. They are acting in his behalf. Because they benefit, whether it's the Republicans versus the Democrats or the Democrats versus Republicans, in a universe in which your goal is to make sure there is always chaos, a democracy, even as poor an attempt at democracy as what we have, a democracy is far less effective when it is wrapped in chaos. And, you know, again, Roger Stone and Mike Chernovich. Roger Stone knew that that the Al Franken thing was coming. Mike Chernovich is the rat fucker who fed the documents directly to, who was it, BuzzFeed? I'm not sure, but who broke the John Conyers story. Maybe it's not true. John Conyers said he did not settle the case over sexual harassment, and he says he did not admit sexual harassment in the settlement, which, you know what, that's the same thing Trump says about his sexual harassment settlements, and there's not a whole bunch of, come on, really? And Mike Chernovich wasn't showing up at BuzzFeed or BuzzFlash or FlashBuzz or whatever it is with that story, was he? When the stories are created by partisans, then the fact that the story is created by partisans is at least relevant. Make sense?
Absolutely. And that's why the first caller tonight, our friend from Hawaii, and I didn't understand his paranoia at first, but I'm starting to get it now. I'm starting to get it.
Well, look, for all, this is one of those moments when you run back to the New Testament. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right?
Yep. Exactly.
I have no doubt, Steve, that there are things that if I knew them, I could say, yeah, well, you know, what about that night up in Helen?
Yeah.
And you'd go, oh, shit, you know about that? Well, yeah. You remember
the election where they pounded a half.
You remember the night with the 1.75 of Jack Daniels, the woman named Eunice, and the chicken? Yeah, see? Everybody's got those. Absolutely everybody's got those.
Go take some more calls. And I'm going to go take up some phones and send them your way.
Well,
you tell
little Cletus and little Twiggy, I appreciate them taking one for the team. You have you and Miss Karen and little Twiggy and little Cletus, y'all have a very, very happy holiday feast. We'll be back for the front porch come Friday, right?
Sounds like a plan. I'll cross paths with you then. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Steve. See ya.
See ya.
My buddy Steve from Georgia Stan. Let's see. Let me make sure. Okay. Nope. Missed it. So thank you to Alma, who said who just kicked in and said this is for Thomas. Thank you, Alma. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. And you have a wonderful holiday feast as well. You know, I've still got some of that dried New Mexico green chili. And I got to thinking, I may do yet another turkey since we're in the holiday season. I'll do one of those, and I'll season it with the dried New Mexico green chili powder and ground Szechuan peppercorns. If that doesn't light a fire, I don't know what will. And so, like I said, we did the stunt turkey, and the main attraction is going on tomorrow. Right now, he's a 15 pounder, and he was 88 cents a pound, and he was hard as an iceberg. Quit it, you perverts. And so he's thawing right now, and tomorrow he'll get a little brine, then. Say noonish or maybe later tonight if he's thawed by now, he'll get brined, and then tomorrow he goes on for a brief smoke, not a full smoke, just a brief smoke, maybe through 2-4 hours, low heat, lots of hickory, lots of smoke, and then we will transport him over to daughter and grandbaby's house for the big feast. It's going to be fun. Let's keep the conversation going. And by the way, that takes us down to 225 to go. Thanks, Alma. And that makes the math difficult again. But hopefully we can knock this down a little bit. I had a note earlier before I go back to the phones. Maybe I got this wrong. Had a note from Michael in Madison. Oumuamua. It ain't easy, all those vowels. Oumuamua. Michael says, yeah, I was going to say the same, that it just wants to talk to the whales, but I was too busy trying to find where this thing came from. Another freaking galaxy? I don't think that's right, or is it? I just read another piece. They're saying it's interstellar, not from our solar system, been wandering through the Milky Way for umpteen bajillion years. But I'd be beyond shocked if it came from another galaxy altogether. Hell, most sci-fi tends to stay confined within a single galaxy, be it the four quadrants of the Milky Way or an unnamed galaxy far, far away. In any case, if Scotty doesn't bring us the formula for transparent aluminum, we're fucked. It's the transparent aluminum. Wait a minute. If only this were a video program, you could see me saying, "Computer! Computer!" and saying it into the mouse. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Michael. Note coming from Robert in Australia. I'm not sure how an end to net neutrality in the USA will affect the rest of the world. We have our own issues here in Australia with our brand new 19th century mixed technology NBN and childish attempts to block certain websites. I have to ask a very capitalist question about ending net neutrality. If you reduce the quality of a service to the point that there's really little point in having it beyond a few very basic services, e.g. email, and an ISP charges far more than service is worth, how many people are going to keep using it? Corporations may be able to spend more each month to get into a fast lane, however much that ends up costing, but how much could the average person afford? I keep my current unlimited service because I signed up years and years ago, and the price hasn't increased in years. If I find the service suddenly reduced and having to sit around waiting for buffering audio or slow-to-load web pages, why would I keep that service? It wouldn't take me long to drop back to the cheapest limited-use service. I wonder if the ISPs have considered this. I've unpacked and repaired my old vinyl LP turntable, set up the old stereo, and lined up the old record collection. I have a good decade of listening to keep me entertained. That's true. I mean, we routinely are screwed periodically just for the hell and all of it by our fine, fine internet service provider, Frontier. Frontier Communications, fucking up the internet since Joe Manchin gave $20 million to Verizon and they split the state and left us with the wreckage. Frontier Communications. And I pay an exorbitant amount of money for what is supposed to be 12 down and 2 up, and I never get much more than 9.5 down and 1 up. This is because I am right at the far end of the service availability from the central office. Frontier's going to raise my rates to keep what I got, or they're just going to make what I've got shittier. Because I'll tell you this much, they're goddamn sure not going to make their service any faster. Now, if I was downtown where the gunplay takes place, if I was downtown, if I was within a couple of hundred yards of the CO, they tell me they could give me 27 down and 5 up. Woo! Party. Woo! Jerry beads. But that's as far as that goes. And you really, really pay for that shit. So I think Robert's got a good question. And of course, there's always a little something left to be desired. Because this is all just capitalism. Giving you less for more money. Right. Thank you, Steve and Karen and Little Cletus and Little Twiggy. We are now down to $205 to go. So that we don't have to do Friday on the Front Porch miracles. And let me tell you, we actually knocked down what we had to do last night by over $100. That's the last of those subscriptions. And from here on out, it's really, really sparse pretty much from now till the end of the month. Some, but not enough to make up for a $205 fundraising hole between now and Friday night. That will not happen. So it's best if we can get this out of the way so that we don't have a two-hour Friday on the Front Porch miracle that we try to get, because we tried for a Friday on the Front Porch miracle last week and pulled up short, and the subscribers saved us on that one. Okay, so just letting y'all know, that's just, you know, kind of how it is. Yeah, 205 is 205 to go, and 29 minutes in which to get there. All right, let's check in with Scott and Punky. Hey, Scott.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of strange visitors from distant planets, it's yours truly.
And his amazing. It's feathered Punky and his slick-skinned human friend.
Yeah, he's an interesting bird to observe, as birds go. He's got kind of a reptilian look to him, but he's covered with feathers.
Well, he's a goddamn miniaturized dinosaur. What do you want?
Well, there you go. That explains. That covers a multitude of sins. Indeed. You brought up a couple, and I tried like the old proverbial Dickens to get in last night because you had raised a couple of interesting things that I wanted to quickly address. But before I do that, and I guess I was reading between the lines as you were speaking with our friend Thomas, I take it that because of his heart issues, he had to have a pacemaker installed. Is that...
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay, well, I wish him well. He's one of the good guys. And thankfully, I've never had those types of issues. And fortunately, I quit smoking nearly 20 years ago, which I'm sure has helped. And I've also been watching my diet and stuff like that, because on my dad's side of the family, it's just a fucking mortality table in terms of heart and stroke issues. On my dad's side of the family, that genetics are not working in our favor. Let's just put it that way. So anything I can do to forestall that is going to be aces with me, you know?
Yeah.
But last night you were talking about anchors on television, news anchors, appearing to be cool, calm, and collected. And a week or so ago, I don't know if you've ever listened to Mark Maron's weekly podcast, WTF.
I've heard it, but I'm not regular because I can't.
There's
not enough hours in the day.
I understand. Well, I'm telling you, Bob, his visit with Lawrence O'Donnell was wonderful this past week. And if you get a chance to listen to it, it's quite good. Lawrence has got an interesting background in terms of nothing he did in his education or anything else in his formative years had offered any inkling whatsoever that he'd have a nightly cable program. And it was a circuitous route that he took to get where he is now. And it was a fascinating story, and I recommend his visit with Mark Maron highly to you. But one of the things that they brought up, and actually Mark waited to the very end of the podcast to bring it up, and I had forgotten about it, but a year or so ago, maybe 2 years ago, with Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC, there was the infamous hammer incident. Do you remember that? It was a video on YouTube of the feed when he was not on the air, of going nearly ballistic. It was almost at the level of, what's his name, Bill...
We'll do it live.
Yeah, we'll do it. It was almost at the level, I think, of Bill O'Reilly on his infotainment show many decades ago, having his little meltdown. But it was great. And it kind of belies the notion of cool, calm, collected anchor people. If you Google in YouTube,
I've got it right here. Let's check in, shall we?
Yeah, it's about an 8-minute segment.
No, I've
but
got
poor Lawrence.
No, I've got a minute's worth of it.
Well, that'll probably convey it. Go ahead.
At least I hope it will. No, I didn't mean for it to. Damn it. Go figure.
James Fallows and Josh Earnest, thank you both for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it. Coming up, is Donald Trump going to be called to testify to Congress? Michael Iskoff has the latest on that. Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it? Where's the hammer? Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop the hammering. I'll go down to the goddamn floor myself and stop it. Keep the goddamn commercial break going. Call fucking Phil Griffin. I don't care who the fuck you have to call. Stop the hammering. Empty out the goddamn control room and find out where this is going on. It's either there or there, or out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just some of it, Bob. Earlier in the video, in the 8-minute version on YouTube, just Google in Lawrence O'Donnell hammer, and it'll come up.
I saw the 8-minute version, but I didn't want to devote 8 minutes to it.
But earlier in the video, in that version, he's got a there's a thing, that little earpiece that they wear.
Yeah,
it's called an IFB.
IFB, right.
Yeah. And apparently whenever they would go to a film piece or a tape piece in the broadcast, from somewhere in the great 30 Rock complex was a woman's voice talking about the upcoming holiday weekend and getting the time off and where they were going, just totally unrelated to his program, that somehow was being fed into his IFB that he was hearing, you know, during the tape portions of the show. It was the poor guy. You just had to feel for him. But anyway, that was a cool, calm, and collected, except when they're not, you know? And you also mentioned talking about news anchors.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeable, but there's a difference between that O'Reilly video and that. I mean, somebody should know better than to be banging away with a goddamn hammer when there's live programming going on. That's what the vast part of the MSNBC evening schedule that's devoted to prison porn is for.
Yeah. But you've got to remember also that his show airs live to the East Coast at 10 p.m., which is golden time if you're in the stagehands and construction union. So you've got to know that there was a manager somewhere saying, you know, finish up this as quickly as you can because we don't want to go into double golden time, you know, to the guy wielding the hammer. But you mentioned something about the imagining with news anchors typically being seen from the waist up. From the waist up, wondering what they wore in their lower extremities. There was a guy. Did you ever see the movie The Shining, King movie? There's a scene where Scatman Crothers is at his Miami home where he stays in the off season when he's normally at the Overlook Hotel in Colorado, where all the other action is taking place in The Shining. And there's a scene where he's reclining in bed watching the local news, and the local news guy is a fellow named Glenn Rinker, who he's watching on his TV, who used to be at the NBC station in D.C. back in the 60s. And he's got this cameo appearance. Well, back when he was at D.C., Glenn Rinker had a boat that he kept docked at Annapolis, a sailboat. And on the 11 p.m. Friday local newscast at NBC D.C., he would look just perfectly normal, suit, tie, shirt, everything, from the waist up. But he had his Bermuda shorts and sandals on underneath because as soon as the 11 o'clock news was over, he made a beeline to Annapolis to spend the weekend on the boat.
Yeah, he was out the door.
Oh, indeed. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
It kind of is and it kind of isn't. But the fact is, we really do tend to create personal myths around the very limited amount of time that we experience a human being in a broadcast format.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you wind up with a hammer video or a fuck it, we'll do it live video, it's hard to get much of a picture beyond that. Because it is a deliberate manipulation of image. That's the sum total, and I mean that's the alpha and the omega of for-profit broadcasting in the first place. I would never be able to get away, I'm producing all of this by myself, so it's, you know, it's got problems, and it's not, I don't have a massive post-production staff or anything like that, so the program is what it is. I could never get away with saying, hey, I'll be back in a minute, I'm sorry, this call's urgent, I gotta take it, okay? Somebody's kid is bleeding out on a sidewalk. The kid bleeds out on the sidewalk because there's a professional broadcast underway. All right.
Yeah.
That's what that world is. And it's a very different world indeed. And I'm not saying one is better than the other, and I'm not trying to compare the two. I'm simply saying that they're, is a very real and palpable difference. Now, just to sort of turn us around, if I could, for me. Oh, by the way, a little bit of, thank you, Jack in Shreveport. Thank you very, very kindly. We've gotten down to 155 to go. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's very big indeed. If we can get down to 100, it would mean only talking about $300 on Friday, and that's huge. Thank you, Jack. So, here's a story. You know, I asked earlier, you know, who's the, you know, Kiefer was the character in the Caine Mutiny clip, the Fred McMurray character that manipulated everything. Who's our Kiefer? Well, we've got a Kiefer in Cernovich, we've got a Kiefer in Roger Stone, but there's a bigger Kiefer up above it all, because at the same time, this story's been out for a couple of days. At the same time that we were having, the for-profit media were having an Al Franken hissy, or, you know, whatever hissy. How about this story out of Indianapolis? A member of the Indianapolis, Indiana City Council is apparently facing charges defined, quote, sex crime, child fondling. 50-year-old white male, 5 feet 11, 160 pounds. Indianapolis Metro Police Department Officer Sergeant Eli McAllister, in his report, said, I learned that a 10-year-old child disclosed she had been molested. Well, the description fits, and there has been confirmation that is Indianapolis City Councilman Jeff Miller. And this is real life, honest to goodness, child sexual abuse that's not 30 years old, 40 years old. This is recent, real time. Nothing. Crickets. Zip. The gubernatorial hopeful of the state of Ohio, a member of the Ohio Supreme Court, Justice Bill O'Neill, who has recently bragged that, I've been sexually intimate with approximately 50 very attractive females over the past 50 years. And he said that by way of standing up for men. Now that the dogs of war are calling for the head of Senator Al Franken, I believe it is time to speak up on behalf of all heterosexual males. As a candidate for governor, let me save my opponents some research time. In the last 50 years, I was sexually intimate with approximately 50 very attractive females. It ranged from a gorgeous blonde who was my first true love, and we made passionate love in the hayloft of her parents' barn, and ended with a drop-dead gorgeous redhead from Cleveland.
Well, let's be clear about something. The first story that you mentioned in Indiana, I hadn't heard about or seen anything about. The thing about the 50 women I had seen the other day. But let's be clear about something. First of all, all of these stories are in competition with one another for air and airtime. Okay? So there's that aspect of it. There's also the aspect of the media, what's commonly referred to as the media. I call it the so-called news media, which is really nothing more than an exercise in infotainment in today's world. They thrive.
You mean the information industrial complex?
Yeah, they thrive on this controversy. The saying used to be, if it bleeds, it leads. Now the saying is, I don't even know what the saying is, but the equivalent is, if it's kinky and salacious and involves a high-up person in government or industry or business or entertainment, it leads. Okay? So there's that aspect of the story. But I appreciated your post earlier today on Facebook about who is the keeper, okay, in this conversation. And you probably saw the response that I gave. And yes, it is about money and sex. They are being used. But there's another part of it that's easy to miss unless you're really looking for it, because it's designed to be easily missed, okay? And that is, in the grander scheme of things, there's this business of sleight of hand and misdirection. And I'm not saying that they're both not being engaged in by Putin, but when everyone's attention is being distracted and directed towards situation one and player one, you can be absolutely sure that there's some separate situation two and player two hard at work to advance its hidden and specific goals. And what happens is, while we're, just totally agog over what's going on in the center ring of this gigantic media circus, often there's no notice taken of situation and player two in the midst of the other crisis. And later, it may be recognized at some point, sometimes much later, as an effect, while its actual cause remains essentially obscured. And I'm a subscriber to the hidden hand theory of life. You think of life as a chessboard, and you think of the pieces on the board as the players, and there's a hidden hand that's moving the players around, but you got to figure that the hand is attached to an arm, the arm to a body, and the body has a head, and in the head is a mind who's thinking up ways to achieve purposes that perhaps it alone knows fully about, that have nothing to do with the circus in the center ring, but has everything to do with what happens afterwards, after the dust has settled. What have they, the nebulous and mysterious they, what have they gotten away with that only later, often much later, we become somewhat aware of? That's the central thing that's going on. And Christ, I mean, if they couldn't have planned it better in terms of having an idiot in chief surrounded by nefarious others. And those are just the ones who we see, okay? We can get a sense of what they're up to if we dig hard enough. But above and beyond that and distant from that is some other tiny universe of people who are actually calling all the shots. And they couldn't have planned it better in terms of a useful idiot being the supposed ringmaster, when really he's just as much a pawn on the board as anybody else is. And it's damned frustrating to get to the bottom of it, because it's the bottom of it is designed not to be gotten at.
Well, I understand some of the I hate to say fascination, that's the wrong focus. I understand some of the focus on Charlie Rose because he's one of theirs. And so there was a lot of attention paid to that. There were a lot of print journalists talking about the Glenn Thrush story a couple of days ago. The New York Times White House press corps member who is now embroiled in a sexual harassment, sexual abuse controversy.
And I thought about Charlie Rose in just that exact context when all of this broke yesterday and then all the stuff that came out today. And that cut a pretty large swath. Here you've got a guy who's on the head CBS morning show. You've got a guy who's on a very popular PBS show. And you've got a guy who does an occasional 60 Minutes piece from time to time. And to get him out of the picture certainly benefits somebody. And this isn't to dismiss any of his skeeviness.
Again, I'm still trying to get my head around parading out of the shower naked in front of multiple women because, you know, it's like my personal locker room here. I mean, you know, I'm just kind of walking around. I walk around naked in my room when nobody's here. You're here. You're nobody. I'm walking around naked.
And it calls into question the hoops that a woman thinks that she has to jump through to get a decent job in the upper echelons of broadcasting, because he is in the upper echelons of broadcasting, okay? And apparently the Post reporter who is responsible for this story has been at it for something like 7 years. So how is it that we are only now hearing? See, this is the other aspect of this.
Well, the reason we're only now hearing, as it's presented, is that only now are people willing to go on the record. The reporter, as I heard her speaking about it this morning, said that she said, I've been on this story since back when I was at Jezebel. And she said 2010. But she
The time span was 7 years. That's a long fucking time.
That's a long time for Charlie Rose to be doing this shit.
Well, yeah. And that brings me to this other idea. There's a lot of that. You talk about shoes waiting to drop. You got to figure that there are people in media and in business and industry and in entertainment who have heard stories like this about other people. But they haven't, the stories, news bona fides, have not developed to the point where they can be thrust upon the viewing and reading public.
Yeah, probably not your best word choice there, thrust. But there's a million different angles, and that's what makes this so juicy to talk about. I just got an email from Randy saying I've had to turn people off because of people wearing out a water cooler story that had legs, getting kind of sick of the shiny thing type distractions. And then tells me where he goes to, you know, get away from it, specifically because they aren't following so much the main media bylines. I'm not interested in the main media bylines. That's why I brought the issue up in the context in which I did. There is more here than meets the eye. And there's more here than just the shiny thing. You know, Arthur just pointed out a minute ago, part of the shock factor with Charlie Rose is that he was kind of all, you know, Arthur calls him a natural figure, thought of kindly. I would say, you know, good reputation, PBS, yada, yada. I'd say folksy, you know, with that sort of almost kind of acceptable Southern accent presentation sort of thing going on that makes that all okay. I get that, but for me, and look, I mean, I'm my age, everybody's their own age and everything, and sexuality is not limited to age, but we have concepts in our society of what is socially acceptable sexual conduct. And generally speaking, we no longer look approvingly on old guys who are trying to run around and prove to themselves that they're not in the twilight of their lives by having sex with, you know, a 20-something in an infant size zero dress.
Well, another way to put it, there's only a certain amount of perviness that we will willingly put up with, is what it comes down to, okay? And let's face it, Charlie, I've watched his show for years, probably 10 or 15 years by now. And I record it every night, and some nights I'll watch it straight through, and then other nights I won't watch any of it. And I look at his presentation, former presentation, as sometimes being the news equivalent of vegetables that I don't prefer, but know that it's probably better to eat them because they're good for you to know certain stuff that you wouldn't otherwise want to know about. But let's face it, I mean, he's as mainline establishment as you would care to mention or point out in terms of a media figure. And how does that fit in with what Steve Bannon wants to do, which is to undo and dismantle and get rid of the establishment?
And there's to get, that aspect. And to get rid of any media that he can't control.
Exactly.
You know, after hanging... Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly's pelts, nailing them to the wall, I think there's also a certain sense that, well, you know, we've got to balance the equation here. We need to put up some folks who aren't Fox pervs.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, that's not to say this wasn't done. I mean, it must have driven the reporter, and I'm sorry I don't remember her name, crazy to be, I don't know, maybe it did it bother her? I don't know. I can't, but let's not speculate. But to be sitting there on this story where she knows that all these people have told her that this is going on, and she, as a reporter, is absolutely chomping at the bit to write this story because it's a bombshell. It's going to be great for her because that's her job.
And Charlie's producer, a woman by the name of, her last name is Vega, is even quoted in the story
as having looked the other way.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's no wonder a lot of us feel like, Jesus, what's the fucking use? It's bigger than any of us.
Well, I'm not like that creepy ass judge in Ohio. I'm not saying, you know, all men are, no. What I've been trying to get at this whole time is that there is something more than meets the eye here. There are motivations beyond the simple exposition of current events news material. It's
well,
and maybe I just need a Thorazine dart in the neck and be done.
Let me close with this very quickly because I see the old clock on the wall. There's two things that I know as well as my own name. One is if they delve into sexual hijinks in radio, I'm totally screwed. And the other thing I know for sure is there ought to be some sort of transdermal patch that men over 70 must wear that reduces, in other words, when they try to do something in connection with the potted plant, instead of a liquid stream, there's a harmless puff of jizz powder that dissipates quickly and harms no one. So on that,
well, I pushed that back to like 40 last night.
Well,
or something commensurate with female menopause, so that you know, yes.
And I didn't mean to get graphic. Of course, I did.
You knew you could get away with it. That's all.
I knew I could, but anyway, these are conversations that I hope we'll all have, you know, in the post holiday world, because they're worth having, and we appreciate, we are thankful that we can have them here with you, Bob.
Well, thank you, Scott. You have yourself a good evening, my friend.
All right, and enjoy your bird, as it were.
Don't say that in front of, I mean, Punky's listening.
I know. He thinks
there's another cockatiel here. That's fine.
Well, they had to stop making shake and bake for cockatiel because it is not hardly more than a mouthful when you get right down to it, and plus plucking all those feathers and degutting them and one.
It was just a plucking ordeal, wasn't it?
It certainly was. Anyway, I'll let you go.
Later, Scott. Bye now.
I'll see you.
And so we find ourselves at the end of the program for the evening. And thanks very kindly to all of you for tuning in this evening. Ben continues to work on the White Rose stream. I apologize, but thank Asa that Asa has the HeadOn.live stream that makes live listening available to those who want it. So let's get back together Friday evening. I hope you all have a wonderful holiday feast. You will be in our thoughts as we express our gratitude for everything that makes life worth living, and that's no joke. So a happy holiday to you all, and thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. We got to put up some people who aren't fox furs. Cowbell, Brother Bob. Cowbell, well done. Thank you. Again, thanks. We close the program. I guess the fundraising goal will be somewhere like, you know, probably $300 or something by Friday. It is what it is. But thank you all for spending your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. Thank you so much. Thank you for being part of the community. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff and in the chat room. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.